Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network, bringing you coverage of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Our hosts will review the toys, books, comics, games, and all things related to the Clone Wars animated series. And after each new episode airs on Cartoon Network, our hosts will recap and review the show. And we want to hear your thoughts on The Clone Wars. Call us at 415-508-JEDI every Saturday after a new episode, and your call may be played on the air.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Republic Forces Radio Network, Season 5, Episode 8, Bound for Rescue, the third episode of the Young Jedi arc, I think. We'll talk about it. I'm Arnie, co-host of Republic Forces Radio Network, and I'm once again joined by my crew of young podcast hosts, Barrent.
Hello, hello, hello. Nice to be back.
Jen.
Hey, everybody.
And Jonathan.
Good evening, everyone.
And we are discussing this next episode, and why don't we go down the line and get your impressions with it in that same order. Barrent, we'll start with you this week. What did you think of this week's episode?
I'm not sure what I think about this episode. I know that this was hopefully the death of the General Grievous mustache twirler, as Jen puts it, but I'm kind of interested to hear what you guys thought. I thought it was an okay episode. It kind of went along with, you know, the general episodes we've been getting, you know, a little bit more kiddified, but, you know, it had Hondo in it, so anytime Hondo's around, I'm happy. But it was interesting. You know, it's different. I think that we can all agree that these episodes are a lot different than what we've been getting.
As usual, Barrent, we can't agree, but we will get into it. I think that that's the case the past couple weeks. This week, well, we'll talk about it. Jen, what about you?
I'm usually really positive on this series, but I could not get behind this episode at all. In fact, this is probably one of the ones I disliked the most, period, like, of the series. It wasn't working for me. I felt like it was all over the place. We were jumping back. I was really confused about the bit with Obi-Wan because they just kind of threw it in there. No explanation. I was just kind of lost. And stuff with Grievous, and then we had the circus, and by that time, my head was in my hands, and even Hondo couldn't salvage this one for me. I did not enjoy this episode at all.
Jonathan, how about you?
Well, this episode, it was different. I kind of feel like it was two separate episodes, two separate whole storylines that were sort of merged into one. And when they came together, it didn't gel right because on one hand, we had the continuation of the Young Jedi storyline, which is still kind of geared younger. And kind of followed that, you know, everything that happened on Florum kind of followed what we'd seen the past two episodes. And then we had the, as Jen said, the Obi-Wan experience, which was completely different and didn't fit. There were parts of it that I liked, but overall it really sort of unbalanced the episode for me.
See, and that's exactly where I will agree with you, Jonathan, and where, Barrent, I think I'll come back to you. You say that these episodes are so much different, but when I'm watching this on the big screen at Celebration 6, remember, I'm watching these all back to back to back. I'm having trouble even figuring out where the episode dividing lines are. And so it's been about 20 minutes since I saw all these little kids on the cave in Ilum and learning their life lessons and how to work as a team. And 20 minutes later, I'm seeing General Grievous snap clone troopers' necks. And I'm thinking, well, this is quite a change of pace. I felt that instantly we were in the Clone Wars. This was back to the Clone Wars series that I knew. It was violent. There was death. It was edge pushing. But I really didn't see how it gelled very well. Just like you say, Jonathan, it was like oil and water when you have the young Jedi in the Clone Wars. It's when I started off, I was thinking Young Jedi was a new series. It had a new title when I saw it there. So to see this really made me confused, but yet feel like I'm back in my comfort zone. But this seems a lot like the Clone Wars we've known for years.
Yeah, but isn't that a good thing? In my opinion, I'd want to have a good mix of what we're familiar with from the past seasons to what this Young Jedi could be about. Or, you know, as you said, you saw it at C6, it was kind of presented to you like this may be a new series. Well, I think that's a good thing that we're finding some familiar things especially with General Grievous. I mean, we got the Genndy Tartakovsky Grievous, as far as I was concerned, grabbing clones by the legs and twirling them around and snapping their necks. That is the Juggernaut Grievous that we were introduced to, not the Grievous that could be taken down by a bunch of Gungans. So I think I kind of take that as a good thing.
Well, first of all, I'd say never underestimate a Gungan. But second of all, I was specifically commenting on what you'd said, though, about episodes different than what we've seen before. You see, by saying it's the comfort zone, aren't we back at what we saw before? Only just now we have six new characters who are younger?
Oh, I hear what you're saying. I can understand that. But no, it's different. It's different. I think that they're trying to introduce elements that will keep the viewers, the loyal people who've been watching them for the last five seasons, you want to keep them interested, you know, so you have to throw a space battle in there. And I think that the space battle did play its part in the storyline. I think it kind of told the story of why the Jedi, why Obi-Wan Kenobi weren't right out there rescuing these kids. It's because, you know, they have the space battle to deal with. So it kind of fit with the story. But I think that it's a good thing to keep your watchers who are loyal happy.
I'm going to come in on this and say that while I did enjoy the space battle, it was too much of a tonal shift from what we've gotten before. It was whiplash. My head snapped back because I'm like, this doesn't fit. And while it was a good and it was great to see Grievous actually be a threat again, it threw this episode for me off the rails. It was too divergent from what we've gotten before. And while I enjoy seeing that, that is what I would hope to see in Clone Wars, but not necessarily how I would want to see my young Jedi.
Yeah, I think the problem with this episode is not the content per se, but just how it was arranged. I don't think that stuff with Obi-Wan and Grievous really fit into the young Jedi story. And so it was just incredibly jarring to have that kind of crowbarred in there. And I think that's probably why we're all having such a hard time with it, because they've been telling us this story for 2 weeks now. And then we come in and there's this little side thing that has really nothing to do with them at all, just jammed into the middle. It's confusing. It doesn't work. And I feel like it would have been better just have that pulled out and put into its own episode. But they're clearly killing time in this one. They probably had maybe 3 1/4 worth of episodes for these children, and they kind of fluffed it up. And that's really, unfortunately, what this episode feels like is fluff.
Yeah, this is definitely a episode that felt like a bridge episode to me, because we do start off where we left last time and our six younglings are trapped in space, which is kind of a bleak thing that I don't know the last episode entirely drove home. It's they're on a ship that isn't functioning. They have no parental supervision and they're pretty much derelict, but they do phone home, and that's where we're introduced to characters other than Ahsoka we're familiar with, Commander Cody and Obi-Wan, and Cody's going to go rescue them. But before he can, Grievous does launch this all-out attack. Which, again, I think we say this every season, but the graphics of the Clone Wars just continue to improve. And seeing this on the huge screen at Celebration 6, this space battle felt almost as real as the opening battle of Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, it was beautiful. It really was. I think you nailed it. But, you know, again, I wasn't able to enjoy it the way I would have liked had it been the central point of an episode. Because I will say that that battle also, because it was sort of shoehorned in here for time, it felt very rushed as well.
Oh, I could not disagree with you more on that. I thought the space battle was absolutely unrushed. I mean, they put in a lot of elements there that felt real Star Wars-y. I mean, did you get the part where they have the scene where the Y-Wing and the Starfighter are trying to fight the droids in space, and he hits the brakes and he goes right between the space droids to get behind him and shoot him? I mean, that was right out of Return of the Jedi. I mean, that's what Luke did on the speeders. So that felt very familiar. And anytime that they're boarding another spaceship, that's straight from episode 4. I mean, that felt very Star Wars-y to board a spaceship and try to take it over like that. And one thing I really liked that you could really miss, but again, I don't think they did rush, how they did put in that extra touch, was when Obi-Wan Kenobi and Commander Cody are running down the hallway, Commander Cody saying, you know, we should stay and fight, and Obi-Wan Kenobi says, we are going to fight, you know, we're going to leave him a surprise, and they're running down the corridor. You see a little droid kind of making its way through the hallway, where all these lasers are going past them. And I'm like, man, you know, that really felt Star Warsy to me, you know, because there's always these droids in these space battles, and you can kind of see how nobody really pays attention to them. And that's how come a Goldenrod and R2-D2 could just kind of go through episode 4 and nobody's really shooting at him. You know, I just kind of felt, it felt real Star Warsy to me, the space battle.
Barrett, we agree. I think that the space battle wasn't rushed. If anything, I felt it languished. I felt we spent too much time there. It goes back to what you just said about only having 1.25 episodes. It felt like filler. Exciting filler, impressive looking filler. But no, this wasn't rushed. It was out of nowhere, just like Grievous jumping out of hyperspace. I have no idea where it came from. Jonathan, your word whiplash is perfect for this. But no, not rushed at all. If anything, way too much time was spent here, because it seemed at times like this would be the entire focus of the episode. But because Cody can't make it, the young Jedi have to have their own little adventure, which... that is what felt rushed to me. I mean, we start off and the young Jedi have built their own lightsabers using the Force, or all of them except for Katooni, who just doesn't have the skill just yet. But when they realize they're derelict, leave it to Petro, he's like, we're gonna go save Ahsoka ourselves. We don't want to sit around like kids.
Well, and this is something, this is not the first time we've seen this type of adventure in the Star Wars universe. Stretching way back to Han Solo at Star's End, that's how I believe Han and Chewie and some of the other people that were characters that were involved in that story broke into a prison as they pretended to be a troupe of performers. That I kind of liked as a bit of a throwback, but I'm wondering if that could have been developed a little bit more. Because again, this episode just felt unbalanced, and I can't really pinpoint any one thing that unbalanced it, but it didn't feel as smooth or as consistent as the previous two.
I think that the young Jedi having to join a circus was probably one of the most original ideas so far in this series. I mean, I was thinking, well, how are they going to be able to do it at the end of last episode? Because they are not skilled. They haven't built their lightsabers yet. Even in fact, in this episode, after they build their lightsaber, one of them makes a comment, I think it was Katooni makes a comment to Petro, you've built your lightsaber, but can you use it? And I was just like shocked. I was like, are they letting younglings build lightsabers that they're not able to use yet? That's crazy. But I think it was pretty original. How else were they going to be able to infiltrate Hondo's camp and rescue their leader? How are they going to rescue Ahsoka? They weren't going to be able to do an all-out frontal assault, because then they would get slaughtered. So I think it was pretty original.
They've used practice sabers before, and I think we saw Petro use that last episode when he did the Whirlwind of Destiny. But I think that was just banter. And she's trying to maybe deflect from the fact that she hasn't put hers together yet.
I'll put mine together when I'm ready. Good way to walk it back.
You know, that opening scene, though, made me think once again we were going to see an episode about young Jedi confidence, and she was going to find hers, whereas he was overconfident. I thought there was going to be a lesson learned. But really, no, this goes on for a little bit, but once they're stranded, they're able to just fix the ship themselves because they're little boy geniuses. And yes, they go off to rescue Ahsoka, which, on the one hand, I remember being that young and being that overconfident and being at that age where you think you know just as much as the adults, and so you're going to go off and do these things because you've watched too many movies. On the other hand, I'm thinking they're Jedi, there should be some discipline there, and when they're specifically told, do not do this, they just really disregard that, and there's no consequences to them for it. At the end, when they're successful, Ahsoka's like, I should pretend to be mad. But sometimes you gotta break the rules. What the hell kind of moral lesson is this?
You know, do what we say unless you're absolutely certain that you know better than we do. Yeah, as a parent, no, that doesn't fly around here.
It kind of makes sense. It kind of fits. I mean, if your most powerful Jedi that you have is Anakin Skywalker, who never follows the rules, it seems, and does whatever he wants to do, kind of makes sense that all the Padawans that would come up after him, that's who they're looking up at. They have Ahsoka, who learned directly underneath him, who I have called the first war Padawan. What else is she going to teach? She's going to teach what she learned, and that you don't always have to follow the rules to do the good thing, which is absolutely crazy. And when we get to the voicemails, my son really honed in on that message, on that lesson, because the other lessons that we've learned were like patience, strength, you know, tolerance, all this other stuff. And now they're teaching him, hey, you know what? Your teacher says sit down and follow the rules. But if you don't and you pass the test anyway, that's okay.
Yeah, that bothered me a lot. I felt like that was a pretty odd thing to be telling children because, again, this is oriented at kids. And this is not the first time we've seen stuff like this. It's a trope that the kids disobey. And usually there's a like, don't ever do that again, but thank you for this time. But the fact that Ahsoka just comes out and says, I should be mad, but you actually did what was correct by breaking the rules. And it's okay to do that sometimes because Anakin does so. It's just like, Anakin is an adult. He has earned his rank. Like, he is making battlefield decisions, and they're not always, like, approved, per se, by the council. But that is very different than a bunch of, like, uninitiated kids, like, running around doing whatever they want. I feel like that's a really stupid thing for them to have said.
Well, I think it could very easily be representative of one of the really negative impacts that the war has had on the Jedi Order. I can't remember which EU source it is, but there's a quote that I think Palpatine, as Sidious is saying to Dooku, that the Jedi Council know that they can't control Anakin, that they can't tell him what to do. Basically, they point him at a problem and let him go, and he'll do whatever he needs to do to get through it and to solve the problem, and they've kind of given up. If that's the approach that's being taught to, you know, Anakin's Padawan, and then by dissemination to the other younglings, even if the Jedi Order had survived Order 66, there would have been a lot of problems.
I'm glad it's not just me. Now, this didn't ruin the episode for me because, on the other hand, taking it as fiction, being watched by adults, I'm of the mindset that I want to see them win and I want to see the story progress. And yeah, I got a big smile when I immediately went back to Han Solo at Star's End, where you had, in fact, Han Solo and a couple cat people pretending to be carnival performers, and the cat people were in fact acrobats and dancers breaking into a prison. And you had Hondo there with Ahsoka, and it got a little dark. He's like, the person buying you doesn't care if you're alive or dead. I don't know what they want with a dead teenage female Jedi. I don't want to know. But again, it's a tonal mess of an episode, but it's also a lot of fun to see this mustachioed Doug leading a carnival and the young Jedi able to use their Jedi skills to become acrobats.
I did not care for this. Like, I had a really, really hard time for this. And usually I can suspend my disbelief and just go along for the ride and everything's fine, but I couldn't stand this. I was just frustrated the whole time. It just felt so stupid to me. I felt like there were so many logic holes that I couldn't stay like in the episode. Like the idea that this guy is just like, okay, we're on our way there. You've done three tricks. Come join my crew. And we're going to go to this place where the guy murdered half of my team the last time we were there. Like, I don't understand. And I like Hondo, but him flying through the air and everything, just, I was not happy. I was just frustrated, like grinding my teeth the whole time. I felt like it was really stupid. Like, I haven't been this frustrated with an episode since Bombad Jedi.
Wow. I must be the only one who loved it. I loved it. I loved it that Hondo was drunk. And the reason why he did not recognize the rescue attempt was because he was drunk. And it made sense to me. I mean, when you're a pirate, you have to entertain the troops. You have to entertain your guys. You know, there must be a lot of downtime in piracy, I would think. And that you would need, there's not a lot of women out there, and all the women seem to be on Hondo. So you have to entertain your troops some sort of way. And you could do that by bringing in some entertainment, or you can fight amongst yourselves. So I thought it was pretty cool. And come on, Hondo drunk, standing up saying, who wants to see me dance? You want to see me dance. I know you do. I mean, come on. You didn't like that? I'm flying. And then boom, he falls down. I loved it. I loved it. I'm sorry. I loved it.
And I'm right down the middle. because I loved Drunk Hondo and I thought it was a lot of fun. And this arc, when I'm watching it in the Celebration 6 theater, before this arc is out, Hondo becomes my favorite Clone Wars original character ever. He's great this week, even better next if I can tease it. So I'm really enjoying his drunkenness. I'm enjoying his lines. When the two Twi'leks are there and he thinks like he's the Mac and he's gonna have a great night with these two Twi'leks, and he's like, I'm not as young as I used to be, but I'm older. I laughed out loud with that line, but I understand Jen's point about the logic holes of how they got there. It is a Scooby-Doo moment.
It's one of those things you have to give it. If you're going to go into this and enjoy the episode and what the episode is trying to do, you just have to go, okay, I got to give that to him. As we've said, this is nothing new in the Star Wars universe, this way of sneaking on to, you know, sort of enemy space. But I think maybe it was just, again, these tonal shifts because, you know, Hondo being, you know, really, really dark and moving around Ahsoka saying, well, you don't have to be alive for us to get our payment. And then him kind of stumbling around. Personally, I think I would have preferred it if he had stayed more of a threat, because at that point, you know, when he, you know, is flying through the air and screaming that he's flying, it was funny. And I did get a chuckle out of it, but he didn't feel like a threat anymore. And the tension for me went out of the episode.
Again, I had the total opposite reaction. As soon as the Doug says they want you to join this, I'm like, uh-oh. They're really waking up the dragon now. Do you think Hondo isn't going to come back and get his comeuppance on that? You think he's going to let these young Jedi make a fool of him and not do something about it? If Arnie is teasing us, I think you're going to love what Hondo's reaction is going to be next week. And all of this is going to make sense. They took advantage of him at a time of when he had his guard down. And he's probably going to beat himself up more that he let his guard down more than anybody else.
No, I'm glad you said that, because they didn't make a fool of him. He made a fool of himself.
He did.
You kind of wonder just the dynamic of this pirate group. And I know we're jumping ahead, but when we look at the initial episode of this season and how his lieutenants are not unresponsive to the idea of overthrowing him, when Hondo's that trashed, why didn't one of his lieutenants kill him?
Perhaps it's something about them just waiting for the money for Ahsoka. Hondo's a smart leader. He wouldn't tell them necessarily, hey, if something happens to me, take Ahsoka here to get the millions. It could be just something that base. But yeah, he did make a fool of himself here. But my memory is, and I'm a little fuzzy on the fourth episode, I remember my impressions more than I remember the details. But my memory is, all these things come together in the fourth episode in a way that, in retrospect, help this third episode. When I was watching it in the screen, this third episode was jarring because all of a sudden we were in a space battle and Grievous was being brutal while all this was going on the planet with Hondo and the tomfoolery. But the fourth episode, I don't know if it's going to be salvageable if you're as negative as Jen right now, which is a perfectly apt and correct reaction to have, but it may be one of those situations where once you see how it ends, you may not agree with it, but at least it helps explain what the hell's going on here a little more.
So this is kind of going back to what Filoni said. The episodes this season are structured as these 88-minute movies rather as individual episodes. Going back to really briefly looking at the space battle, did anybody think that Obi-Wan really made a misstep by announcing to Grievous that he was blowing up the ship? That was a perfect opportunity to wipe him out, and Obi-Wan basically just gave it away.
Yeah, it seemed a little bit arrogant. He was so certain Grievous couldn't escape. He's like, oh, I'm going to have my last lap. It's not very Jedi-like, and Obi-Wan is always the quintessential Jedi to me.
That was absolutely the dumbest thing that I've ever seen Obi-Wan Kenobi do. I mean, they're always saying, if we could just get Dooku and Grievous, the war will be over. Why would you tell them? Why would you tell Grievous, announce it on a looped recording? Not just play it once, but on a looped recording. Just in case you didn't get it the first time. Here, let me say it again. Get off the ship before you die. I just don't understand that. And again, I don't think that was missed by a lot of kids who watched this show.
Yeah, that really bothered me too. It just, that was one, another one of the logic issues in this episode that just really kept jarring me out, and it kept not allowing me to stay just along for the ride. So he had this surprise and he was just going to blow the ship up, and that seemed perfectly reasonable until he did that. It made me crazy.
Jen, it's funny because you're always calling Grievous the mustache twirler, and this time it was Obi-Wan who was twirling his mustache. Literally, it looked like, with his, you know, hand up by his face. Petro is coming together to be their leader, and we learn this terrible lesson at the end of the show that Ahsoka was teaching them. But if you kind of step back a little bit, and when they're still in the rescue effort to get Ahsoka, I think you have Katooni who says to Petro that this isn't going to work or something like that. And Petro says, be patient. And that was the lesson he learned in the gathering. So I liked it that it came all the way back around again. And at least that the kids in the show are learning their lessons, and it's kind of sticking with them, the lessons that they do learn. So we will see in the future them disobey more, because that's the lesson they learned here. But I thought that was pretty cool. What do you guys think of Petro being the leader? It seems like he's just kind of taken over control and they've kind of let him. Does he seem like a natural leader of the group? I, for one, think Gunji is the natural leader, but he just don't speak no English.
Well, I mean, do we want Petro going to be the leader? I mean, as he's apparently going to go to the dark side, remember?
And
that's what the leaders do.
And I have to call it the irony of saying he don't speak no English.
I said that on purpose.
Yeah, it does reinforce what I've said all along. He is not going to the dark side. And in fact, it goes along with the Star Wars stories, doesn't it? I mean, you look at Luke Skywalker, you are reckless. And he's the hero of the original trilogy. I think Petro is proto-Luke.
Wait a minute. We're not comparing Petro to Luke Skywalker. First of all, Luke Skywalker, I think, was the exception to the rule. If you look at the rest of the Star Wars universe, every time you have a Jedi who is a leader and is very powerful, they always turn to the dark side. So I think Luke is the exception to the rule, and I think Petro is the common denominator to that rule.
I'll let you take that back if you'd like, because I can cite examples from Qui-Gon to Obi-Wan to Yoda himself who have never turned dark.
Yeah, well, thank you. I was going to go there.
I can say a lot more EU people that have turned dark when you're talking about Han Solo's kids, right? Darth Cadus, he turned dark.
There's one.
Okay, yeah, there's one. Then you're talking about the Revanches, Darth Revan.
But he turned back.
Well, he still turned. I'm just saying that it's more the exception.
I mean, even Anakin turned back, but it's a question of how much damage they do while they're turned. But if you go EU, there's so many dark Jedi, but there's also so many who don't go dark. But if you look at the movies, if you look at George Lucas's vision, only one powerful Jedi goes dark. Just one. And we all know Dave Filoni doesn't read the EU.
I think it's also kind of predictable that, just in a marketing sense, that he would be the leader, just because he's a male, the human, as far as we can tell, and he is the target audience. So he's the one that the target audience is probably going to have the most association with. So it makes sense to me, just logistically, that he would be the leader.
Not to drag another franchise into here, but when looking at an ensemble cast for an adventure, I got shades of the original Star Trek crew here. You have the brash male leading things. You have the reasonable, you know, second in command who's always kind of giving the balance point. Then you have other characters that kind of bring different aspects into that to balance it all out. And that's the sense that I got when watching them all interact.
All right. Well, we do also have a voicemail from Pharaoh again this week.
Hello, this is Master Zanite, calling in again with my thoughts on the new Clone Wars episode, Bound for Rescue. The young Jedi finally built their lightsabers. Well, most of them. We'll see if Katooni can get her lightsaber to work. Gunji has the coolest lightsaber so far. It's all made out of wood and stuff. Hondo was drinking something, and then he did this really bad trick on Ahsoka. It's where he put the drink up to her face and act like he was going to give her a drink, but didn't. She looked really thirsty, and I would have given her a drink. So the young Jedi had a plan to rescue Ahsoka by joining the circus? I don't like circuses. Circuses are creepy. Acrobats are creepy. And also, especially, Gamorrean guard clowns are really creepy. I never thought about a Gamorrean guard being a circus clown. But it was really funny when Bliff launched Hondo in the air and he was all like, "I'm flying!" And then he crashed into the pole. There was one thing I didn't understand. It's in the space battle scene, it's when Obi-Wan Kenobi tells Grievous that the ship's gonna explode. I would have not said anything and just let him blow him up through the ship. But Grievous gets away, like always. So, in this episode, the lesson we learned was that sometimes doing the right thing means breaking the rules. What is that all about? That goes against everything every adult ever tries to teach me. Doing the right thing is doing the right thing, period. I never heard that doing the right thing is breaking the rules, or breaking the rules is doing the right thing. It's a little confusing. Anyway, they got away, and I can't wait to see what happens in next week's episode. So, this is Master Zanite, and I'm going to be calling in with my thoughts on the next week's episode. Peace off.
So, it seems like Master Zanite there agrees with us that the message here is a little bit mixed and a little bit confusing to children about whether or not, or what is right to do.
Yes, and we had a long discussion, and he's always, just like what he said on the voicemail, what he said to me, you know, how is that right? And it's a little confusing. And he agreed with you, Jonathan. He would have kept his mouth shut and let Grievous burn.
Of course, that would have just messed up episode 3, and we know that. But yeah, I mean, this is what kids do. My own children, even though they weren't able to leave voicemail messages this week, they commented. It's like, wow, they really missed the opportunity to get rid of Grievous. You know, that challenges the logical thinking.
I kind of appreciate that he brought up the Gamorrean guard and the clown makeup, because I also thought that was really creepy and it flashed by so fast I wasn't sure what I had seen, so I wasn't the only one.
It was funny, too, because we were laying in front of the fire, you know, just watching on the floor. And I'm sitting there, and he's sitting there, and as soon as he sees the Gamorrean guard, because it's just a flash, the first one, he elbows me right in the ribs. He's like, "Dad, look at that!" And I'm like, "Look at what?" He's like, "The Gamorrean guard clown!" And I'm like, "Oh." So that was pretty cool. It was, see, like, another thing of how I said that it's very imaginative, this episode. You know, who would have thought that a Gamorrean guard would be made up in clown makeup?
Well, thank you for having Pharaoh call in this week. And a reminder to our listeners, if there's a youngling in your life who you watch the Clone Wars with, we'd like to hear their thoughts. Have them give us a call. Next week's the last week. They can always call in and give their thoughts, but we're specifically looking for that target group. So have them call in next week at 415-508-JEDI, right after the show airs, up until Sunday at noon, to let us know what they thought of the episode. And next week is it, the end of the Young Jedi arc, and we will have all of these things come together. I'm excited for it because I remember the last one actually being my favorite of the entire ones that I sat through at Celebration. So I'm looking forward to talking about it with you guys again next week. So Jen, Barrett, Jonathan, thanks for joining me, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks, guys.
See you next time.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series, at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Berent, and Nathan P. Butler of StarWarsFanWorks.com. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all of the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademarked Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a Venganza Media production. Copyright 2012. All rights reserved.